How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
You don't see the Church of Satan doing a mockery of mosque worship. You don't see Satanism doing a mockery of a Buddhist meditation.
You go into the average big box evangelical church, you're going to get three or four verses from different translations ripped out of context that are strip mined in order to help make your life better.
He reigns from a font. He reigns from a pulpit. He reigns from a table. His crucified and risen presence, bodily, fleshly, continues to reign in the world.
Homeschool families love Issues, etc. We have issues.
It's been a long, long time for me. It's been 27 years, actually, since I was single, and I don't think I really could have even called myself single at the time. Yes, I was technically single, but the prospect, I had been engaged for about 2 years as well. So let's go back another 2 years, 29 years, almost 30 years. And before that, I don't think I would have referred to myself as single. I was just a college student because there wasn't anything to contrast it with. It wasn't single or married. Yes, there were married college students, but the single life was just life. Not the single life. Of course, that was a long time ago, and nowadays, singleness for many lasts far beyond college, beyond graduate school, beyond the beginning years of your career. Sometimes singleness is a permanent state of affairs, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a legitimate godly vocation. Sometimes it's something that lingers beyond the single's desire to remain single. We're going to be talking about the vocation of singleness or singlehood here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Friday afternoon. It's the 6th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Adrian Dorheinz will be our guest for the first hour. In the second hour, listener email, and then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got four soundbites that we've assembled for you. You can listen to them in advance at our website, issuesetc.org. You can vote in advance by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Or we've left space at our Facebook fan page for you to vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Please include your city and state, and it is your chance to win the LPR bundle package. The best voter will get the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, notepad, and mouse pad in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Questions and comments are welcome for Adrian Dorheinz as we talk about the vocation of singleness. 1-877-623-MYIE. Adrian Dorheinz is a regular guest. She's managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine, and she's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Hello, my name is Single. Adrian, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for choosing the book for the Book of the Month Club.
Happy to do it. You are recently single and recently married, in that order. And I have to ask you to begin with, do you like being married better than being single?
I do. I love being married. It is such a joy. I met my husband actually while I was writing this book, which is kind of ironic. On our very first date, we talked about the fact that I was writing a book about being single, and I finished it before I got married. So it was kind of an interesting segue from thinking about and living the single life and moving into marriage, which has been a true joy and a gift. And my prayer for those single people out there who are very piously desiring a spouse and perhaps haven't yet been given one.
Let's talk about the single people out there who do not desire a spouse, or they haven't found one, and they are content with the vocation that they find themselves in singlehood. Is that also a gift, Adrian?
Definitely. I think that we try and lump singles sort of into two categories, that they're either lepers who are sort of unworthy of the church even paying any attention to them, that they're kind of untouchables, or that they're these, you know, broken, rusted out cars who just need fixing up, and if we fix them up, then they'll work and they'll run properly. And neither of those is true, neither is helpful, neither is how our Lord sees us, and the church shouldn't either. So I think when we talk to and we come alongside and we care for and we love our single neighbors, we need to be careful to discern what kind of single they really are. There are some who are content in their singleness, that they're completely fine with that. They're not looking for a relationship. There are some who are desperate to find someone and to be a husband or a wife. So it's incumbent upon us as the church to be able to recognize what vocation they sort of fall into, and then to be able to help and serve and love them in that.
Speaking for yourself, and I don't think I'm telling any secrets, that you fell into the latter category. I don't know if the word desperation applies to you, but you were sick of being single. Is that true?
I was. I was raised in a family that spoke about marriage and family and children in a very positive, Christ-like way, that was something our parents prayed for my sisters and for me, and something that we were raised to pray for as well. So I think you're right. It isn't so much desperation, but that when you see a good gift and you see that the Lord gives it to others, you want that thing. You want to be able to serve someone. You want to be able to be a person's helpmeet. And that, I hope, is what this book helps with, is that when you don't want to be alone, when God says it's not good for man to be alone, and you are, or when the Lord says, you know, you as a female, you get to be a helpmeet to someone, but you're not, how do you live in that sort of in-between period when you're not any of those things that our Lord says are good things? How do you live in that life? And we do that as baptized children of God. That is who we are, whether we're married or we're single. We return always to the foot of the cross, and that is what gives us our value and our worth, not our relationship status on Facebook.
Pop culture, well, really, not just pop culture, the broad swath of culture extols singleness, but in kind of all the wrong ways. It portrays it as the epitome of freedom, of liberty, especially sexual liberty. And, you know, kind of your glory days, the days of sowing one's wild oats, and then marriage is the inevitable, well, minimum security prison that everybody eventually has to serve time in, sometimes many terms, consecutive sentences or something like that. Take apart the pop culture's view of singleness contrasted with marriage for us.
Well, I think that you're right in that we as a culture do not place a high value on marriage. And that is something even in the church that I do believe we need to speak about. It used to drive me crazy as a single person to hear other Christians sort of make fun of or poke fun at marriage, because it is such a wonderful, godly institution. And so, you know, before we even get to helping our young people understand what a great thing marriage is, I think we can go a long way in speaking well of it ourselves. The joy that comes from being able to serve another person, that is a true gift. But we can also talk to our youth about the dangers of thinking that the single life is something to strive for. We've created a culture in which being alone is preferable, and our Lord did not intend for that to be the case. You know, in Psalm 68, he says he puts the solitary into families. He doesn't desire for us to be alone and set apart. He desires for us to have the joy of those around us. So in talking with several people in writing this book, I think our young people especially feel like they're doing something wrong if they do desire marriage, because the culture tells them, young men, you can sleep around, you can have one-night stands, you can treat women how you care to treat them without any recourse, and young women, you can expect that men are going to treat you poorly, that they're going to treat you in crass and coarse ways. And we raise our young men and women to think that that's okay. And in the church, we have a long way to go and a lot to pray about to tell our young people that you have value because Christ died on the cross for you. And that means a man doesn't get to treat you as his sexual plaything. And young men, that your job as a man is to stand up and to defend women. And that is a task that the church has before her.
So how does the church articulate the value and the proper understanding of both of these vocations that are often contrasted with one another, singleness and marriage? How do we say the best about both, knowing full well what you've already said here, Adrian, that there are many people, we hope that there aren't many in the married vocation who desire to be single. That would be a problem. But there are many in the single vocation who desire to be married. How do we do this?
Yeah, I think it's really rare that we actually speak about singleness at all in the church. I've heard a fair amount of sermons on married life and families, but I've never heard one on what it means to be single. So I think we can start by speaking about this topic at all. And I have friends who say, you know, on Christmas Eve, I'm hearing about the Holy Family. I'm hearing about wives and husbands and children, and I'm sitting in a pew with my mom and my dad and my siblings, but I don't hear about who I am as a single person and how I fit into this family. And so as the church, I think that we can speak about how we take comfort in the promises of Christ. Luther talks about the wedding of Cana, and he speaks about when the mother of our Lord goes to Jesus at the wedding of Cana, she's counting on him to act in mercy, to kind of save the day at the wedding. And our Lord responds in what seems to be a sort of harsh way, in a way that makes us sort of uncomfortable, by telling her, now is not the time, you know, kind of back off. And the point of that gospel is to show that God is kind and that he is gracious, even if it doesn't seem like it in that moment. That is what the church gets to tell our single folks, is that if you are suffering, if this is your life as a single person where it feels like God doesn't care or that he doesn't want to give you this gift, we as the church get to remind you that even though it doesn't feel like our Lord has a good and perfect will for your life, that he does, despite how it may seem. And so we trust in his kindness and his mercy, but we don't make demands, and that's hard, certainly. But we know that our Lord has nothing but good things to give us, even if he's withholding this one particular gift from us. And so then the church gets to talk about suffering. It gets to talk about life under the cross, about things that turn us again and again to Christ's gifts in his word and his sacrament. Because when you are lonely and when you wish you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife, your only source of contentment, your only source of peace is Christ and no one else. That's what the church gets to tell the single person.
Adrian Dorr-Heinz is our guest. We're talking about the vocation of singleness on this Friday afternoon, June the 6th. She's managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June. Hello, my name is Single. We'll be right back.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter sermon and a sermon on the prophet Job preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
By grace I'm saved. grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace. It's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.
What happens when our theology is driven by freshness instead of faithfulness? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled New Thing Theology. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Bob Leeko journeyed from the Word Faith movement to faith in Christ alone. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Adrian Dorheinz is our guest. We're talking about the vocation of singlehood. It's Friday afternoon, June the 6th. I invite your questions and comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. A little bit more, if you wouldn't mind, Adrian, just a little bit more biography, because I was contemplating this the other night. I was thinking about the interview, and I was thinking, I never in all my life thought of myself as single. I didn't, because I was too young when I got married. Well, actually, when I was young when I got, not too young. I was young when I got engaged and young when I got married. So I never really passed through the single window. It was always just kind of college student, idiot, married husband. That was the transition for me. When did you begin to think of yourself as a single woman?
Probably as I was finishing up college. I think a lot of us who go to the Lutheran through the Lutheran university system, you know, they talk about the Concordia plan. So you go to college, you find a spouse, you get married, and you graduate. And for the handful of us that didn't happen for, you start to notice, well, gosh, everybody else is getting married and moving on and having families, and I'm still kind of hanging out here. I wonder if there's something wrong with me. And then you kind of continue through life. You get your first job, and it just kind of perpetuates. And year after year, you find yourself more and more friends are getting married, and fewer friends are single, and you're kind of left with this handful of people who don't really want to talk about the elephant in the room, that we're all still single, but who desperately need to find support and encouragement in their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in dealing with this issue. And that's kind of how the genesis of the book came to be, is just as time went on, I realized there are still those of us out there, and we're all ages and we're at all stages in life, but there's one thing that holds us together, and it's the fact that nobody's really talking about this one thing that really matters to us.
In the context of the church, did you find yourself kind of the invisible girl? Is that what it was like?
I think in some cases that can be. It depends on the congregation. In some congregations, it was very much a church family, and so people sat with me in the pew, people had me into their homes, people had me over for holidays. In other congregations, it wasn't that way. It was easy to walk into church and walk back out again and not have anyone greet you or say hello to you. I think that's the struggle for a lot of Christian singles, is that their church seems to them and ought to be a place where they can find comfort if they're really struggling with being single, but oftentimes they don't. It's kind of easy for congregations to say, well, we're just going to have a singles group, and if you're single, you can come to that. I'm not convinced that's necessarily the way that we ought to go. I was single for 29 years, and I never once went to a singles event sponsored by a church, because it felt to me like some kind of awkward Lutheran speed dating session. What I really needed, and what I think my friends needed, is for the church to simply incorporate me into its life, to invite those of us who are single into their homes, and to check up on us when we weren't in Bible class, to sit with us. we don't have to make caring for our single folks awkward. We can just take joy in it. And at the end of the day, whether we're married or single, we all remind each other that we are the Lord's and that that is the thing that binds us together, not our marital status.
Talk about the incredible difficulty of meeting somebody made all the more difficult by being a devout Christian.
I think that's a struggle for a lot of Christian folks, is they get to the point where it might be a little bit desperate, and so it's easy to not necessarily settle, but to look at those things that you believe you would find helpful in a spouse and to kind of say, well, I don't really need that, I don't really need that, I don't really need that. That's a great temptation, is to say that I would rather have anybody rather than be alone. And it's something that you pray about a lot, that the Lord would sustain you and that he would be your only source of contentment and peace. The nights that you just can't stand leaving a party or going to somebody's house by yourself one more time, those are the nights that you get to very acutely take that concern and that suffering to the Lord in prayer and to say, I know you have good gifts to give. If it's your will, send me a person who's a faithful Christian, someone who understands what it means to be a godly man, someone who understands the proper relationship between male and female. It's a cause for us to go to our Lord in prayer and to ask him for those things that we want. We're oftentimes afraid to pray for those things because we think we don't deserve them. But our Lord already knows what we want. You know, he knows these things before we think them, and there's no point in us sort of trying to piously say, well, you know, whatever you want to give us, we'll take it, we'll settle. Ask him for what you want. And if it's his will that you have it, he'll give it to you. And if not, he'll make that clear too.
Talk about dating.
Oh, boy. Do we have to?
Yeah,
I mean, yes,
yeah, we
dating.
Do.
Well, dating can be kind of an awkward thing, I think, especially in Christian circles, because there's this theory out there that if you are single and you have a pulse, that any other person who is single and Christian and has a pulse ought to be a perfectly acceptable spouse for you. And that's not helpful either. Dating is meant to be a way in which you can find what things you are looking for in a spouse and what things you're not. The culture says dating is a time to have sex, to live it up, but the purpose of dating is to find a person that you will marry. And so if you can find a person and the two of you understand that from the offset, that we are dating with the intent of seeing if this leads towards marriage, that's a good starting point. My husband and I, on our third date, talked about that. He told me, I'm not out to date just for the sake of dating or just for fun. I've been praying for a godly wife, and if you and I are going to continue to see each other, my goal is that one day we're going to get married. I think that's a wonderful way to start a discussion because it takes away any other sort of superfluous reasons for dating, and it makes you work at it. And dating is hard work because it's meant to be a precursor to marriage.
Were you happy to, I hate to interrupt, but I got to. Were you happy to hear that on the third date?
I was. At that point, I wasn't sure if we were going to be married or not, but I was happy to find someone who took it seriously. We have a real problem with women who don't know what they want and men who don't want to lead. So to hear someone take the initiative and to say, this is my prayer and my desire, that was actually very comforting to hear because I knew one way or the other that goal was going to get itself sorted out.
How many first dates that never resulted in a second date, Adrian?
Oh, lots. I probably, you know, in the last few years, probably 10 or 15. And you can tell pretty quickly. I've always dated Lutheran men with the exception of one Roman Catholic, and you can tell pretty quickly whether or not your theological views, your views of the home and the family, of what marriage looks like, of the job of the husband to give to the wife and the wife's job to receive what her husband has to offer, you can tell pretty quickly if those are shared values with another person. And if they're not, then you simply thank them for their time. If they are, then you continue to explore that. You know, a lot of people say you need to get your family involved, you need to get your parents involved. I think there's a time and a place for that, but I also think that we get to trust our Christian singles enough to know that they can sort out fairly quickly whether or not there might be a future with this person. And if there is, then we ask our parents to continue to pray for that. We invite them to meet our dads and our moms. We go into their families to see how their dad treats their mom, to see kind of what they grew up with, and you go from there. But I don't think it's helpful to prolong a situation where you know your shared understanding of who our Lord is and what he does. If that doesn't mesh, that's a pretty good indicator not to carry on.
Were there, for lack of a better term, were there false alarms? That is, were there things where you, situations where you met someone, dated him, said, oh, this seems right, and then it wasn't?
Definitely. And those are things that I look back on and shake my head and think, what on earth? How did I not see that? But I also know that I had family and friends who did see it and who were telling me, and I wasn't necessarily interested in listening. So that's another thing as single people, you know, that they get to watch for is if your friends and your family do start to notice things, you pay attention to that. The Lord puts speed bumps sometimes in your way, and it's incumbent upon us to listen to our godly parents and our siblings who perhaps are married or those who see those situations and recognize them. I was engaged once before, and that gentleman called off the marriage, and I look at that now, and I can see that there were red flags and that there were warnings, but that I was so interested in making it work that I disregarded them. And that can often be an indicator of a lack of trust. In my situation, I think I didn't trust that if the Lord would not see this engagement through, that he might not send me another husband. And the joy is that he teaches you through those situations, through life under the cross, that even if he chooses not to do that, he will still care for you, that he will never let you be snatched out of his hand, that he will be your source of contentment, whether or not a failed engagement actually fails or succeeds.
We're talking about the vocation of singlehood. Our call-in number on this Friday afternoon, June the 6th, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Adrienne Dorr-Heinz is our guest. She's managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine, and she's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June. Hello, my name is Single. What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrienne Dorr-Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
The Bible isn't about you, it's about what Jesus has done for you.
Chris Rosebro talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference.
I'm going to take 3 to 4 of the most popular misquoted evangelical proof texts and demonstrate from the texts themselves that if you read yourself into them, you not only miss the point, you miss the comfort of the cross. And so I'm going to tell you the better story that these texts actually tell you when you put them back into context.
you can meet and hear Chris Rosebro making the case against me-centered, misquoted scriptures June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
T-shirts, shorts, sun. Get in shape this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Get A-Fit this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
When Jesus prays for us, he prays that we be preserved in the Word by which you and I have fellowship with the very love and life of the Holy Trinity.
St. Paul. He's like the polar opposite of Jesus because he's raised to be this uber scholar genius, and yet Jesus' confrontation to him shows him that he never understood a single word of Scripture until he gets it Christ right.
When Christian churches move to dealing with social causes, when you've lost the gospel, you have nothing unusual to offer.
Look what he did with Joseph. Look what he did with Jesus. And then consider what he can do also with you, because God specializes in raising the dead.
1 hour from now, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 4 soundbites. You heard a little taste of each of them there. 4 soundbites that we'll play for you, and then you listen, and you call, email, go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote, and your vote determines which one will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour of the program, and it's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. That's the last half hour of Issues Etc. We're talking about the vocation of singlehood. Adrian Dorr Heinz is our guest, author of the Issues Etc. book of the month for June. Hello, my name is Single. I want to talk about a couple aspects of this. And again, it's largely autobiographical for you. I mean, that's what you're trying to do, is relate some insight from your own experience as well. Talk about the setup, the well-meaning couple at church who know just the right boy for you.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that we do to our single friends that are just really unhelpful. There are unhelpful things that we say. There are helpful things that we say. There are unhelpful setups, and there are helpful setups. One of the unhelpful setups is kind of, as I mentioned before, assuming that if two people are single and are Christian, that must somehow be enough. And I think for those of us who are married, a lot of times that kind of setup isn't necessarily, I don't want to say this is in every case, but it's not always because we actually have the best interest of the single person at heart, but because it fulfills some sort of need of ours to try and fix what we see as a bad situation. And so when we catch ourselves doing that, it's always good to pray about that, but to also go to the single person and to say, you know, I've noticed that you're single. Do you want to talk about this? Can we talk about it? I've had people in churches do that who have asked me about it, and that's been such a gift. It was such a gift to me that someone actually would take the time to get to know me and to ask me how that was and what it was like and what I was struggling with, because it acknowledged that there was suffering and that the Lord was the only one who knew the outcome, that there wasn't anything necessarily that I or this other person could do, but that the Lord knew how it would end. He has a perfect will for me. And having a Christian friend who could sit and listen and acknowledge that there was pain and hurt here meant more than anybody trying to set me up with someone. I always give my dad a hard time about this because my dad, God bless him, tried to set me up with an Applebee's waiter that he thought was a really nice guy who ended up having twin daughters with a woman he wasn't married to. So it pays to do your homework, it pays to do your research, and it pays to just spend some time with this single person, praying with them, being in church with them, having Christian life together with them before you sort of insert yourself into their situation, no matter how well-meaning you may try to be.
Well, you talk about that well-meaning couple, and again, let's just kind of paint a picture of that stereotypical well-meaning couple at church who really do honestly desire to see, you know, their single friends enjoy the gift that they have in marriage and are not trying to denigrate singleness in any way. But you say one of the best things they can do is to kind of play the role of surrogate mom and dad, to listen, to have contact with, to kind of maybe even meddle in your life a little bit the way mom and dad might be, because a lot of these singles are separated from their families. They're nuclear family, and they're out in a congregation someplace working a job. Talk about that.
You know, one of the things I think we don't even realize is that the single person, like you said, because they're far away from their families, sometimes they don't even understand what a healthy relationship necessarily looks like. Because we don't get to see them interact with their families, we don't even necessarily know what they're looking for or how they grew up. And as you said, that can kind of be the role the church can play, is that when it draws these singles in and it loves them as a church family, it can help to shape and mold and model healthy relationships. You know, as a single person, I never got a hug. And going to church and having a pastor's wife give you a hug and just to know that you had a kind of stepmom there that you could go to, that meant everything to me. It meant that I could call her when I was, you know, lonely. It meant that I could talk to her about being single. It meant that I could count on her for all of those things that my mom couldn't necessarily do because she wasn't right there in the vicinity of where I was living. And so that's one thing, you know, we kind of pawn singles off into, oh, we'll just start a singles group in church and we'll kind of separate them out. That's the worst thing that we can do, is to see them as this kind of unique group off on their own. What singles need more than anything is to be drawn into the life of the church and treated as part of that church family. Through our couples, our older women and men in the church, they can teach us and model for us what a healthy, pious relationship between a man and a woman looks like, how a man is to treat a woman, how a wife honors and respects her husband. Those are all good gifts that single folks can learn from the people sitting in the pews right around them. And for those of us who are married, I think we often forget that because we think, well, we're married, we're just living life. But those single people around us are anxious and they're eager to learn those things. They might just be afraid to ask for them. And so if you go to a single person and you say, hey, can I talk to you about this? Can I mentor you? Can I pray for you? That opens up a door for a conversation that can do nothing but benefit a single person in the church.
What was the role of your pastor, the role of his preaching, the administration of the sacraments in your life as a single person?
That meant everything to me. I often speak to groups of single Lutherans or young single Lutherans, and I encourage them often to go and talk to their pastor. If he's not single, if he's married, that means he was single at one point in time, and so he understands what they're going through, whether they want to be married or not. A pastor can offer you personal encouragement, and maybe that's through confession and absolution. Maybe you want a husband more than anything else in the world, and maybe you are breaking the first commandment in that, and that you are putting your search and your quest for another person above God, and he can call you to the carpet for that. He can also offer you comfort when you feel like you can't go on one more day, or when you're frustrated, or when you're angry. Your pastor wants to pastor you. He wants to care for you. He wants to pronounce God's forgiveness on you, which single people often need to hear. There's a lot of guilt and embarrassment and even shame that there must be something wrong with me if I'm single. And a pastor being able to sit with a single person one-on-one and pronounce God's forgiveness on that person is huge when you're struggling with that. I also noticed that I've had pastors, I've been blessed that they include mentions of single people in their sermons, which is very comforting, was very comforting to me that I could hear I was numbered among the people that our Lord speaks to and that matter to him. Just events in the church where the pastor would invite me over or his wife would call me up, all of those things that a shepherd can do to care for his flock are immensely meaningful and also comforting to a person who is desperate to hear that their Lord loves them and that their church family loves them too.
This is a question that we wouldn't have even asked or for which there would have been no answer 20 years ago. But what about online dating, which isn't exactly dating as far as I can tell. It's more like online meeting and then later some dating. What about it?
I was one of those people who thought that online dating was for, you know, the people who couldn't actually meet men and women in real life. You know, there had to be something wrong with you if you needed to go online to meet someone. And because the Lord, you know, has a delightfully ironic sense of humor, my husband and I met through eHarmony. I think that's a perfectly acceptable way to get to know a person, especially in cases where there aren't huge groups of Christians or huge groups of Lutherans for you to be able to go and meet someone. I have a friend who is single and is anxious to meet her future husband if the Lord decides to give her that gift. And this is a struggle for her because she goes to work and she goes home and there's really no place in there where she can meet someone. So for people who are interested in meeting a spouse and who want to be able to really be able to ask questions and to talk to someone and speak with someone and work through whether or not their views on marriage and the Bible and life are compatible, online dating can be a slow, calm, and steady way to do that. I think the danger is that if you meet someone who maybe doesn't have your best interests at heart, it's easy to go farther than you need to. It's easy to send pictures or make promises or do things that we as Christians know to not be helpful simply because it's online, it's not face-to-face, and there are temptations intrinsic in that. But I certainly believe it can be a way for Christians to meet and to find joy in doing so.
Adrian Dorheinz is our guest. We're talking about the vocation of singlehood. It's Friday afternoon, June the 6th, about another 10 minutes with her, and then in the second hour of the program, we're going to go through some listener email, respond to as much as we can, and then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click Listen on Demand.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes with Adrienne Dorr-Heinz talking about the vocation of singlehood. She's managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine. Adrienne, let's talk about a situation that is all too common. It's simply one of the facts of life, the sad facts of life, that given the culture that singles are living in right now, that we all live in right now, we discussed this a little bit earlier, premarital sex happens. It's not good, but it happens. And the dilemma comes not only with that, but then somebody goes, they date around, maybe they sleep around a little or a lot, and then they meet the right person. And they're faced as a Christian, not only with the guilt of the past, but with the guilt of that person staring at them in the face that they plan to marry. Talk about it.
It's one of the common questions that young people ask me. They say, you know, in high school, in college, I met somebody, it was my first girlfriend, and I went too far, and now I've met this woman, and we're engaged, and we're going to get married, and what do I do? I feel guilt, or I feel shame, or they'll come to me and say, I had sex outside of marriage, and now I want to date someone else, and how do I sort of make sure that that doesn't happen again? This is something that is not just unique to the culture. You know, 80% of Christian youth, young people, 20 to 30, have had sex outside of marriage. It's rather shocking. You know, we don't take our Lord at His word when He tells us to lead a sexually pure and decent life. We don't take Him at His word that He says that sex is meant for marriage. We haven't always maintained pure thoughts. And so part of this is kind of setting the reset button. Quite honestly, it's forcing yourself through prayer, through going to the Lord's Supper, through hearing His word, to begin to re-understand what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. And so we pray, we ask the Lord to help us when we struggle in terms of sexual desires in relationships. We ask Him to keep us steadfast in His word when it bids us to wait. I think we also talk about sex with the person that you're dating. I always encourage young people to do that, because when it's sort of the secretive, mysterious thing of which we do not speak, that's never helpful. So it's not bad to discuss ways in which you intend to hold each other accountable and to set boundaries, you know, to kind of say what we understand from Scripture is the proper and the right way to do something, and then ultimately to repent. If you've slipped up, we repent, we receive the Lord's forgiveness, we go to our pastor and confess our sin to him, and we trust that our Lord makes all things new. When we grew up, we go back and we ask Him for forgiveness again. And so there is forgiveness for folks who have struggled with this, and we also trust that the Lord will help us and enable us to follow His word and to do His bidding going forward. But that's a very real temptation, and it's easy for us to say, well, that's kind of for the world out there, but it's happening to our own young people. It's something that our own young Christians, our young Lutherans struggle with, and because they do, it's our job and our task to be able to talk to them about that and then to be with them as they live in Christ's mercy and His grace as they seek to live a chaste life.
Talk to the person who's listening to us, who is single and has essentially given up. They have an earnest and have had an earnest desire.
to not be single. That's not true of every person who's single, but it's certainly true of many. And they've said, look, I've waited long enough. I've given up. This is what it's going to be for me. Talk about the kind of the cross-shaped life there, because every vocation in life has its own shape of the cross for us. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that is most difficult for a person who sort of feels like they've given up is for people to make promises to them that they can't make good on. A lot of times our friends, our family, try and make us feel better by saying, just, you know, when you stop looking, then the right one will come along, or I just know God has somebody for you. And while that's meant to be helpful, it's actually very hurtful, because our Lord doesn't promise us that. He doesn't promise that he will give us a spouse. He doesn't promise that he will give us children and a marriage and a home. He promises us that he will forgive us and that he will sustain us. He doesn't promise any of those other things. So to the single person who is listening, be comforted in Christ. He is the only one who can sustain you. He is the only promise that is sure and certain. And know, too, that as you live in this single life, you are living out what all of us, whether married or single, will be when we are in heaven. In heaven, we are neither married nor given in marriage. We are simply there living life with and under Christ and his cross. And what a glorious thing that will be. And the single person gets to sort of mimic that now. The single person gets to have the time to focus on and to be about the holy things of God and his word. And they get to practice up and kind of get a head start, for those of us who are married, on what that will be like in heaven. And that doesn't always fix things. It doesn't always make everything right. It doesn't, on the nights when you're lonely, it doesn't make you any less lonely. But it is a certainty, and it is sure, that your Lord loves you and that he is the only thing that will see you through this suffering.
Does that apply equally to those who have not always been single? In other words, they have been married, the widow, the widower. Does it apply equally to them?
Absolutely. And I do talk about this in the book a bit, is how we deal with our widowers and our divorced and our celibate and our other singles, the way in which we care for all of them differently. But we are all one in Christ. We are all part of the body of Christ. And so when one member suffers, perhaps because of a divorce, perhaps because of the loss of a spouse, we all suffer together. But it also means that we get to rejoice together, that our Lord is good, that dating can at times be hilarious, even if it's a tragic sort of hilarity, and that there is joy to be had in the relationships in which our Lord puts us. Perhaps not all of them. Some can be very difficult, but that our Lord has good things to give us, and he desires to give them to us. We cling to those promises. We're in church, and we trust that in all of his gifts that he has to give us there, he will comfort us, whether we even feel like we need comforting or not.
With only 30 seconds, maybe just about 20 seconds, now that you are married, Adrian, do you find yourself looking at singles differently? About 30 seconds.
I do. And one of the things that my husband and I speak about often and that we pray that we will do throughout our entire life is to welcome single people into our homes. A lot of times singles can feel very lonely, and it is our joy and our challenge to remind them that in Christ they are never alone, and with their church family by their side, they're not alone there either. So for the two of us who went through into our late 20s being single, it's one of the joys we get to have going forward is to share with others all of the kindness and the Christian love that was shared with us when we were single.
Adrian Dorheinz is managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine, and she is author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June. Hello, My Name is Single. You can find out more about this book, pre-order it, Hello, My Name is Single, by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Adrian, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, we're going to spend hour two of Issues Etc. First, going through listener email and responding to some of it. It's summer months, and there's a lot of show criticism in the email. We'll try to deal with as much of it as we possibly can in the course of the next hour. And then we've reserved about 20 minutes at the end of this second hour of Issues Etc. to play our Friday game with our listeners. That's with you. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In about 40 minutes, about 35 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can listen to them in advance at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, and you'll be able to listen to them. You can also vote there as well, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or wait until we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 35 minutes and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.